presented by Google.
Hey, good morning, playbookers. It's Friday, July 23rd. I'm Raghu Manavolin, and this is your Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. Even if the bipartisan infrastructure framework loses, Secretary Pete Buttigieg has already won. The Iowa caucus winner turned transportation secretary has already redefined the backwater cabinet position, one where presidents typically plant their obligatory senior official from across the aisle. But Buttigieg has assumed celebrity status in D.C. He's a mainstay of Playbook Spotted's. We've seen him riding his bike to work, hanging with AOC at the dog park, waiting in line for ice cream, sitting next to Joe Biden in the Oval Office, and beamed straight into our living rooms, giving off the warm and fuzzies about the pretty non-ideological issue of infrastructure. It's a job that has never led to the presidency, yet some say Buttigieg has positioned himself well by taking the gig at a moment when fixing roads and bridges is the central issue in D.C. There are other cabinet secretaries on Biden's infrastructure sales team, such as Jennifer Granholm, Gina Raimondo, Marsha Fudge, and Marty Walsh, but it's Buttigieg who's been on late-night TV not once but twice, not to mention appearing on The View and hopping aboard an Amtrak for today. Back in April, he sat next to Biden in the armed seat typically designed for the vice president. The vice president was in North Carolina that day promoting manufacturing. Biden seems happy to share the infrastructure glory with Buttigieg, whom he's often compared to his late son, Beau. Buttigieg, in short, has gotten all the upside and none of the dirty work. He's building valuable relationships with the members of both parties around the country as he sells the infrastructure package, without the arm twisting and haggling it takes to get it passed. Said a senior Republican Senate official, there's no blood on his hands. Because who on earth is going to blame Pete Buttigieg if this thing falls apart? They're going to blame Congress and Biden. People who know Buttigieg say he's taken to the role in part because he's a good communicator, but also because he's a wonk about infrastructure. Jennifer Holsworth, who advised his failed campaign for DNC chair back in 2017 and served as a fundraiser for his presidential bid, said this. There was a lot of consternation among the Twitterati about what his qualifications were for the role. I was lucky enough to see him do his mayoral duties in South Bend. There was not a bigger nerd in the Midwest when it came to filling potholes. If there's anything negative to say about Buttigieg at this point, it's that he's peaking early. Once infrastructure is over, he'll likely head back to being a run-of-the-mill cabinet member. But he can worry about that later. It's hard not to compare his current station, owning a legislative priority that will likely succeed, to the burden Vice President Harris bears as the administration's point person on two of the most difficult issues on the docket, voting rights and immigration, said one senior Democratic aide. The really tough things were put on Kamala's plate. Speaking of voting rights, we've got a story in today's playbook by way of the New York Times. Democrats' divide on voting rights widens as Biden faces pressure. Here's a clip. Biden, a veteran of the Senate who for decades has believed in negotiating on the particulars of voting rights legislation, has faced calls to push Democratic senators to eliminate the filibuster. The president and his advisors have repeatedly pointed out that he does not have the votes within his own party to pass federal voting legislation and does not have the power to unilaterally roll back the filibuster, even if he supported doing so. But voting rights groups say that Mr. Biden is not expending sufficient political capital or using the full force of his bully pulpit to persuade Congress. They point to the contrast between his soaring language, he's called GOP voting laws, quote, Jim Crow on steroids, and his opposition to abolishing the Senate filibuster. Check it out in today's playbook. Here's what's up in Washington today, starting with the White House. At 10 a.m. Eastern, President Joe Biden will receive the President's Daily Brief. At 8:45, he'll head to Wilmington, Delaware. Press Secretary Jen Psaki will brief at 12:30. The Senate is in today, the House is out. First Lady Jill Biden will attend the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony as head of the U.S. delegation at 7 a.m. Eastern. One last thing before we get out of here. Cuba's sweeping protests and sweeping crackdown are historic, but the situation is a political hot potato for President Joe Biden, whose sanction orders came nearly 2 weeks after the unrest began. His go-it-slow approach has emboldened Republicans, while Florida Democrats fear the president could blow an opportunity to reorient U.S.-Cuba policy and improve the party's political chances in a former swing state. Our colleagues Sabrina Rodriguez and Mark Caputo unpack the political minefield with Playbook's Tara Palmieri on the latest episode of Playbook Deep Dive. You can listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, for more news on what's breaking in DC right now, subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. Our music is composed by Break Master Cylinder. Playbook's editor is Mike Zappler. Jenny Ament is Politico's senior producer of audio. The executive producer and head of audio is Irene Noguchi. I'm Raghumana Vallan. I'd ride bikes and get ice cream with you, if you wanted to. I'm a chocolate chip kind of guy. Okay, have a great weekend. I'll see you first thing Monday morning.
Google keeps more people safe online than anyone else with products that are secure by default, private by design, and put you in control. Every day, Google blocks 100 million phishing attempts, checks the security of 1 billion saved passwords, and protects 4 billion devices from risky sites. Every day is safer with Google. Learn more at safety.google.